Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 14 of Romans. I'll read it first. Him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful dispositions. For one believes that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord, and he that regards not the day to the Lord regards not he not the day. To the Lord he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not, to the Lord he eats not, but gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy him not with your meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God, but approved of men. Let us therefore now follow after the things which makes for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Have you faith? Have it to yourself, before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now that's King James, and we know that's not necessarily what this book really means or what God said. Would you agree to that? Okay. I just need to miss something here. I needed to make a mark on. Okay. Saw something else. let me go back. And I'm going to read out another translation when I finish. At the end of what I say, I want to come back and read another translation to you. One that most people don't agree with, but I'm going to tell you. Tells you. Well, if we get through talking, we're going to see what this other translation has to say. So let's go back to the first verse where it says, Him that, should say, the one that is weak in the faith, receive, or receive in kindness, it should say. That's what the language says. Receive in kindness. If he's weak, receive him in kindly. Not to doubtful disputations, it says. Okay. What does that doubtful disputations really say? Literally, it says this: receive the weak one, this one's weak in faith, but not to argue about his opinions.
Yeah, mine says in Amplified, don't perplex him with discussion.
Yeah, but don't argue, don't bring him in just so you can have someone to argue with about what he believes. That you may know, not just think, you may know it's different, but just to bring him in to beat him up is not the way to do it, is it? That's what I say. This chapter is an awesome chapter. I really like it. OK, Okay, verse 2, it goes on and says, for one, truly one believes that he may eat all things, and another, or the one that is weak, eats vegetables. Okay, that's all right. Let not the one that eats despise the one that eats not. And let not the one which eats not judge or condemn the one that eats, because God has received him. Them. God has received them. He's received them all, hasn't he? Who are you that judges another man's servant? Now, whose servant are we? We're God's servant. He purchased us with a price by the blood on the cross. All humanity. So what right have we got to judge someone else's servant? So anybody else in humanity is a servant of God, whether they're aware of it or not. Correct? So we have no business condemning someone for their thoughts, even if we know they're wrong. Can't condemn them. We can just say, well, Lord, that's where you got them, and that's your choice. I'm just a servant also. He says, to his own master he stands or falls. He shall stand. It says holding up. He should say he will stand up, because God is able to make him stand. It's not up to us to make somebody stand, is it? If the whole world, if the religious community could get a hold of that little teeny piece right there, leave them alone. Don't stand on the corners and scream at them they're going to hell. Hear me? Don't condemn them because they don't wear the right clothes or have the right haircut or don't take communion or do take communion or they're baptized in Jesus' name or in some other name or whatever. If they're splashed or dabbed on the forehead with a wet cloth or poured over their head, all that stuff means nothing. Because God has received them all, A-L-L. And that's the thing we can't understand. And even people that go to church, they'll condemn someone else. And I laugh. Because it's sad that the ones that think they're so great are doing the one thing he told us not to do, condemn or judge anyone else. So you can have an opinion, but where should your opinion be? Right there between your ears. You can have your opinions, but voicing them, now you become judgmental.
Aren't you still judgmental in your head?
Not necessarily. You can see a problem. Just because I see the problem doesn't mean I have to judge it. But when I speak it out, there's only one reason, maybe two reasons you might speak it out. Two, possibly.
Make yourself one.
Well, that's judgmental. But the other one is to expose something. And I know Jesus did expose things. He spoke out about the wrong that religious people were doing. Okay? But now worldly people, what if I do to say anything about them? Religious people can be exposed. Worldly people, I got nothing to touch them with. They're gods, ain't they? And they're not professing to be anything. Sleep alone. You know what? If everybody would take care of themselves, how much better would this world be? We could all exhale, couldn't we? Okay. Verse 5. One, it says one. The word one right there. One man esteems one day above another. It should say... Whoever truly esteems one day above another, who judges every day alike. He said, "There's one man that esteems one day above her, and there's another who judges or esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded." Where? See, it's not about what. It's not a democratic thought process. What do you think about it? See, the process, when Jesus taught people, he never said, hey, y'all shut up because I know it all. Those words never came out of his mouth. His thought process was never taught anywhere in his teaching. He always said, what do you think about it? He always encouraged people that came to him to use the gift that God gave them, a brain. Think with it. No one has every answer. Only God has it all. So we all need to think for ourselves. I got this little piece of paper I carry in my wallet. And it says, a wise man thinks for himself. And I keep it in there for a reason, to remind me always. Every time I open my wallet, think for yourself. Don't let someone tell you what to do. It says, but a wise man thinks for himself, But an ignorant man follows public opinion. Let someone else tell you what to do. You know what you should do in your life? What should you do, Lisa? What you understand to do is right in your life. See, no one else can tell you that. Not even Lloyd. No, we all have to think for ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with getting opinion, you know, discussing it between people and coming to a consensus when it involves someone else. That's great.
If at that point when you're discussing it, it'll come to consensus.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, but it's still, there's nothing wrong with a man and woman discussing things. That don't mean you live two separate lives. It just means you've got to make the decision for you, because I can't make it for my wife, she can't make it for me. But together we can work this thing out and know which way we got to go.
Also know that, like you said, where everybody's different. You each have your own way of doing things, and you'll achieve the same goal, maybe. But the way I go about it is what's right for me.
For you.
You may think, no, that's all wrong. But that's for you.
That's right.
As long as we meet at the same place.
We're all going to the same place.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, when we die, all go to one place. So 6:60 says the same thing. But anyway, that's the things we have to realize. God's got a lot of paths for us to travel. And it's for each one of us. And there's issues that we have in life. Now, like, I may see something that Lois doesn't see in her life. And I'll say, you know, if you do this another way, it would make it simpler for you. If she don't want to do it, she can go ahead and do it the way she wants to. And most of the time, it will probably come up and bite her in the rear end. Just because, you know, she didn't want to hear it. But it's not that way anymore. It used to be that way. But now she thinks about it.
According to if we're making a bed together or not.
And that doesn't mean a hill of beans, does it? But, I mean, you know, we've got ideas about how things... I'm talking about serious things that, in our life, that can affect us dramatically or financially or whatever. We need to make decisions wisely. And if we say... And a lot of times I tell her, do what you want to do. But you know you'll reap what you sow. Just like if I make a decision, I'm going to reap what I sow. I can't blame anybody else for the things I do, can I? And if everybody would live that way, it'd be a wonderful world, but it's not that way most of the time. We always try to find an excuse to blame somebody else. Okay, where did I leave off? 6? Start from 6. He that regards the day regards it to the Lord. And he that regards not the day, to the Lord he does regard it not. He that eats, eats to the Lord, because he gives God thanks. Okay? Or he says a grace at his meal. There's a lot of people that don't go to church, don't do anything like that, but they say some kind of a blessing over their food when they eat it. That's okay. There's nothing in the book says you have to do that. That's
thank you.
Yeah. That's sufficient. Yeah. What people are trying to get people to do in this, saying this grace or something over their food, and if the natural teaches you about the spiritual, it's so ridiculous. As a father and a mother here in this family, they have 3 children, and these 3 children come to meal, and every time they come in, they say, oh, thank you, Dad. Mom, thank you. Oh, bless you. Thank you so much for giving me food. Now, how ridiculous is that? You're laughing because it's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's the same thing the church wants you to do to your father. Your father knows your heart. You're coming eating and you know where it came from, don't you?
He probably knows your heart more than the...
You do. Sure. And that's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. God knows I'm thankful for everything I get.
I don't know who said it or whatever, but I read somewhere and it's like, if the only prayer you ever said was a sincere thank you, that is sufficient.
God never made anything we had to do. See, it should come from your heart. If that's from your heart, that's what it takes. See, that's what it takes. But all this other stuff is man's stuff. Just repeat after me and it'll be okay. Say it, speak it forth and it's so, right?
Yeah.
we don't need to spend all day there.
Sign the dog
line. Yeah, just, you know, he'll sign a contract with you. He said, finish that up. He says, and the one that eats not to the Lord, he eats not, but he gives thanks unto God. It's not our place to call what they're doing. If a man doesn't stand up in front of everybody and say, thank you, Lord, for the food that we're about to receive and for the nourishment of our bodies and all this stuff that the church says, these little ditties they say, just because he doesn't do it, does that mean he's not thankful? But yet the church thinks you've got to make a show out of it. And I'm pretty sure he said, if you have faith, you ought to keep it to yourself down here. We'll be there in a minute. Don't beat nobody up with it. Verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Because if both live, we live unto the Lord. And if both die, we die unto the Lord. Not whether, it's if both. Whether they're living to the Lord or living to himself, it doesn't make any difference. If they live, they're living to the Lord. If they both die, they both die to the Lord. When we die, where do we all go?
The Lord.
Back to the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12, 7 and 8. Okay. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the what? The Lord's. What's going to change that?
Nothing.
See, if the church tells you it's going to change, you better do what we tell you or else. That's a little bit of fear tactic, and that is not God. That's man. Okay, verse 9. Because to this end Christ both died and rose and lived. It says revived, but it says the word should say lived. In order that he, cross out the word might, because that's not there, it's an added word. In order that he be both Lord both of the dead and the living. Whether you live or either you're living or you're dead, he's still your Lord. Whether you're living in the flesh or you've moved on into the realm of the spirit, guess what? He's still your God. He's still your Lord. You can deny all you want to, but you don't have the authority to change anything. And I know a lot of people don't like that word, that you don't have the authority or the right or the abilities to do it, but that's just the way it is. We didn't start it. Who's going to finish it? The same one that started it. He's the author and finisher of it, the book says, so you've got to leave it alone.
That's present tense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He is.
I know. Doesn't mean he's going to be, does it?
No.
Verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? After what he just said here, why do you judge your brother? If you heard what Paul wrote in this chapter so far, why would we judge anybody? If you heard this, why would you judge your brother? See? It's out of pride and arrogance and the desire to be Lord over somebody else. That you want to be God.
You just forget. You have to remind yourself.
Yeah.
That's not the right
step. Not the right way.
I've got to
let it go.
Oops.
Yeah. Or why do you set it not? Literally that word is despise your brother. Why do you despise your brother? Just because he doesn't believe like you do. See, that's ridiculous. Because we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Isn't that the pattern, son?
Yep.
Wasn't he despised and hated for telling the truth and being who God set him up to be? Well, if we follow in his path, guess what? Don't you think you're going to be despised and rejected?
Or at least not understood. Or not understood.
Well, you won't be understood, I promise you that. But that's part of the rejection. It's not, when people don't understand things, what do they do with them? Reject them.
Or talk about them.
Despise them. Try to disgrace them, discredit them.
Get somebody to be on their side and say, hey, Joe's not all right.
Yeah, there you go. Get somebody to go with you. Get on this wagon. Let's all run downhill with it. Okay, so that's all that is. And it's okay. That's the pattern. Because we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Because it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall fully confess, or a better word is fully agree, or witness with God. Okay? Or to God. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And this word account, guess what it is? It's the word logos. Everyone will give words. Okay?
Words or word?
We're going to speak words. That's the account of ourselves is in word. It's in the and isn't the word Christ?
Well, that tongue sharpens this. Every tongue sharpens.
Mm-hmm. That's the words coming out. And it should be not of, but concerning himself to God. He'll give his own word what he is. And you know what? When you speak before God, and I mean, I don't want to put this picture in your head of this big long line of people going up into the sky, up to this big marble throne with an old fat guy with white hair and beard on it, you know, sitting on it, and everybody's waiting in line to talk to him. I don't want to give you that picture. That's what the church already did.
I think that's Santa Claus.
Could be. But anyway, he asks you if you're naughty and nice too. Satan Claus. But what I want you to see is that we're going to give an account. So the account that you're going to give is not something futuristic.
No.
It's the life you live. What kind of words are coming out of your mouth giving an account of who you are?
Well, you know also what you're just saying here totally is the opposite of what the church says. The church says God's going to judge you. But this is saying no, you judge
yourself.
How did I live my life?
And your words is going to be what judges you.
You lift up a standard, and that standard is what we judge ourselves.
Well, the standard was the cross.
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay. Are we willing to sacrifice for the rest? Are we going to speak words of life just like he did while they were killing him? Are we still going to speak life regardless of what they do to us?
Doesn't that word logos go beyond just words? It goes into your very thought process.
Well, the words come from the thought process. So, word can't come out of your mouth without coming out of the thought process of the mind.
So it's going on. There is no hiding it.
No, you can't.
It's what you are.
If you speak truly from your spirit and you're awake and know who you are, if you can hear and see the things of God, all you can do is speak what's in you.
Uh-huh. I am.
I used to apologize for the things I said to people. I said, I apologize because I know you don't understand what I'm saying. I don't want to offend you. I can't do that anymore. I can just say, this is all I know. I know that what they believe, I've told people, I know what you believe because I used to believe it myself, but it was wrong. And when I came to the truth, I can't speak that stuff anymore. I can't, there's a lot of preachers who run around and they'll say one thing to this group and they go to the next group and they'll say something different. Whatever they want to hear. I can't play that game. Well, I understand, but that's the way preachers are in majority. They do, and some of them will be offended at that, but I don't care. It's the truth. Got to go back to the Old Testament and find out about the shepherds that can't do anything but lie. Plenty of it in there.
Would it be fair to say then the thoughts that's in your mind now judge you?
It is judging you instantly. Instantly.
So, and that's could be an acquittal or being some correction.
Absolutely. Well, right now, if you think of something, Lloyd, to do or to say, before it comes out of your mouth, it was judged. Where? You knew immediately whether you should fulfill what you were thinking or not. The judgment was right there. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
See, and that's the process. We do it right now. This is the judgment now. There's no place in this book says after you die, they're going to line up on that big white throne up in the sky.
You're already being known. You're being obedient or disobedient.
Sure you do. That's because the Spirit of God in you is alive and well. Don't have to worry about it. Everybody's talking about foolish stuff that doesn't make any sense. And if you just sit down and listen for yourself, you'll be free. Okay. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another. Or literally, not the word is not. Let us no longer, is what it should say. Let us no longer therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block. And that word stumbling block is literally an occasion of apostasy. Let's don't give someone an excuse to turn back. Don't let anything in my life, even though I know all things are profitable, or all things are lawful for me, but everything is not profitable. I could do things that would offend people that have not the understanding I have. That's what he's saying. If you got the right, you know that everything's lawful, but everything isn't profitable, it becomes not profitable when it harms someone else. So if I have the liberty to go get drunk today, which I don't drink anymore, but if I went and got drunk and someone saw me over in town coming out of a bar, staggering, falling down, what would that do to that other person? Doesn't change the Christ in you, does it?
No.
But you know what? You're just not. You're hurting somebody, and that's what Paul's telling us.
Because you closed off their mind and possibly missed anything that you could teach them.
You've shut them off. You've offended a brother, and you can't. You know, you can't get that back. But whenever I take the liberty to do something, when I know that it would offend someone else, then it's not the Christ, but it's the I. I want to do it so it doesn't make any difference. I don't care about anybody else. That's the wrong attitude.
And it's wrong in another way where you know better.
Yeah, he doesn't.
You know better and you choose to do it anyway. It's worse.
Sure it is. If you're the mature one, you bear the responsibility.
No different than you being stumbling down drunk and standing and judging someone.
Yeah.
Cowardly.
Same thing. Same thing. When it says about putting an occasion of apostasy or an occasion to fall, and that occasion to fall is a snare or an offense in your brother's way. So if they see me do something that would trip them up, that's my fault. That's my responsibility. I bear that.
Maybe not even in putting it in your brother's way. If you really think a little bit more, if I already prejudge something and decide I don't like that person, everything I see them do I think is wrong, I put it in my own way because I'm stumbling over. They'll never be able to do anything right to me.
In your view.
Because I've already judged them that I...
Mm-hmm.
It's all...
Yep. You got to watch that, that prejudice thing. It's a nasty thing. Verse 14, I know and I am persuaded. And that word persuaded by the Lord Jesus. I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus. And that word persuaded literally means to be convinced by words of the Lord Jesus.
I know and I am convinced.
To be convinced by words.
Convinced by the words of Christ, of the Lord Jesus. The word says, should say, I know and am convinced by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is nothing unclean through itself.
Right.
See, people say, the church world, you make it unclean by the way you think. Okay? Every evil thing comes out of the mind of man. Okay? When the church world says, if you drink or smoke cigarettes or chew tobacco, you're going to hell. To them, it's unclean. So if they do it, they live how? In condemnation, don't they? Because to them, they've been told it's wrong. They don't know what it is. There's nothing in this book says you can't have a drink of alcohol. There's nothing in this book says you can't smoke a cigarette. Now, what it does say, you'll reap what you sow. If I smoke cigarettes long enough, we know of a fact today that people die of lung cancer and all kinds of cancers because of cigarettes. So if I smoke cancer, that's what I've got to look forward to. Or if I drink enough alcohol, I can die of cirrhosis of the liver. That's what I got to look forward to if I want to drink enough. But in moderation, all things are legal. See? But they can't see that. But in their mind, if they would pick up a cigarette, they're going to hell. See, they've already convicted themselves. They've judged themselves. But the book doesn't judge us that way. God doesn't judge us that way. Let me finish here in 14. But, or except to him that considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. See, it's as every man thinks in his heart. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. And it says, be fully persuaded, doesn't it? Don't be riding the fence. You know my old Chinese proverb, right? He who rides the fence gets a sore crotch. See, so be fully persuaded. Don't be rocking back and forth. Don't be unstable like a reed. Just go ahead and make it up your mind which way it is. If you want to live under the condemnation and guilt, go ahead. But I don't choose to live there. Verse 15, because if your brother be grieved through your food, is what it should say, through your food, you should no longer walk, you are no longer walking in what?
Love.
The word charitability there should be love. According to agape is what it should say. So we're no longer walking according to love. Destroy not the one with your food for whom Christ died. So if I'm eating something that offends somebody or drinking something just the same, and it offends somebody, then I'm wrong because I know it's okay, but I know it's offending them. I shouldn't be doing it. Best thing to me is I just don't do it. That's it. Be kind and right at the same time. It's the only way it's going to be right. Now, you know that this was not talking about you eating a hot dog and in front of a Jew. That's not what we're talking about. What we were basically talking about here was a culture where they sacrificed animals to all kinds of gods. And when they sacrificed the animal, you know, the meat was still there. So somebody would take and say, hey, that's a leg of lamb, or it's a hind quarter of a beef or something, you know. Take that sucker and let's eat it. You're hungry. And some people said it doesn't make any difference. And other people said, oh, no, that's an abomination to God because that was sacrificed to an idol. We know idols are absolutely nothing, right? So it doesn't make any difference. But if I would go get that meat and eat it in front of somebody, then I would belittle them and crush them because of what they believe. I don't have a right to do it. Go get the meat and take it private to my own home and eat it, and ain't none of their business that they don't know about it. Don't be rubbing it in their face, you know what I mean?
You're fully persuaded that it should be this way, and you're doing it, just saying this, just throwing their stuff in.
And sometime in the past, you thought the same way.
Yeah, you're just taking whatever they think, throwing the garbage right in their face.
But he said it's all his, didn't he? Mm-hmm. We're all his. So we got no right to discredit anybody else. Okay? Okay. Verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. I'm going to read that out of the Living Bible. And if your brother is bothered by what you eat, you're not acting in love if you go ahead and eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone else for whom Christ died. Don't do anything that will cause criticism against yourself, even though you know that what you do is right. Just because you know it's right don't mean you can flaunt it and rub it in somebody else's face.
If you think about that, like you said about the hot dog, the church is literally taking that literally.
Literal rather than spiritual.
Right. And they, like you said, they don't go back and...
But they have no ability to do it any other way.
Right. They don't realize it was having to do with the feast or sacrifice.
No. And even if they knew that little bit there, what I said about them sacrificing idols, it carries over spiritually to everything. Anything I do, I can't take the liberty of being free and offend someone else. Just because I want to. Okay? Verse 17. Because the kingdom of God is not food, drink, but, guess what? It's righteousness. And you know what this word righteousness, really the root of it is? Innocence. Okay.
I can see that.
The very root of this word comes back to innocence. It's a couple of words back into it, but it's innocence and peace. It's innocence, and it's righteousness, peace, and joy, or innocence, peace, and joy. Or this word for joy, the actual language should say calm delight.
Well,
it didn't say running around screaming, yelling, flopping on the floor, and hanging on the chandelier, does it?
Well, I can see that, like you were saying about they took the hind quarter of the sacrifice, and in innocence,
eating it.
You were eating it.
Sure.
Well, you didn't intentionally try to offend anyone.
No, but if you did, and you realize that, you won't do it anymore.
Right.
See, that's all. You can't take back what you already did, but you can learn from it and grow, can't you?
Yep. To come to it, except they come to me as a child.
Yep. Can't enter the kingdom unless you come like a child. Okay. Verse 18. Because he that in these things, or the one that in these things serves Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of humanity. You're going to be accepted. When you do that, you're going to be accepted all the way around. Let us therefore follow after or pursue the things which make peace, and things wherewith one edify or build up another.
I like it amplified, so let us then definitely aim for and eagerly pursue what makes for harmony and for mutual upbuilding.
Okay.
That's
good. Verse 20. Because food, not meat, but food destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are what?
Pure.
Or clean. All things are clean. but it is evil for that man who eats with offense or through offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, eat meat or drink wine, nor anything in which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. See, it's better not to do it at all if it's going to cause a problem with someone else. Let it go. Give up your rights. That's your going to the cross for your brother. Okay? Have you faith? Have it to yourself before God. What did he say to do with your faith?
Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. The word happy literally says supremely blessed. You're supremely blessed in that, in is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he approves or allows.
So are you saying that there is a limitation of freedom?
Why? What's your thought?
If you know that you're free,
mm-hmm.
complete freedom,
yep.
and you would not want your brother to stumble,
yep.
you put a limitation to your freedom?
Self-imposed. He's telling you, my liberty cannot hurt someone else. If I do, I'm not thinking about other people. I'm thinking only of myself. I'm self-centered. You see what I'm saying?
I'm not acting in love.
Well, it's not in love when you don't care about someone else. You know, I have liberty to do lots of things, but if I do it, I'm going to offend a lot of people.
Well, if you're a room full of 50 men that's free like you think,
yeah.
and it's okay to do it?
Sure.
But if you're in a room,
but if you offend someone, then they wouldn't think of where you was thinking, was he?
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So
you don't know. But if you make a mistake and do something that would offend a younger brother, guess what? You just back up and don't do that no more. That's all. Now, I know I could do all things. Everything lawful? Well, I could take my clothes off and run down the street and I would offend a lot of people. See? But I know better than doing that. I'd offend most everybody I saw. See? I'm just using that as an example. See, I mean, it's lawful in the spirit realm. Everything's lawful, isn't it? But I'm just taking that as an extreme out there. It would offend everybody that saw me walking down the road, you know. I probably wouldn't get very far and the cops would be there.
Like you guys on the ball field.
Yeah. The streakers, yeah.
Yeah.
See, it would offend a lot of people. So that's the way it is. I mean, you've got to realize it's not all about yourself. When you come to maturity and understand that everything's freedom, you got freedom in everything, but you understand, I don't have freedom in the liberty to hurt someone else.
Okay, let me take it back to that again.
Okay.
In the room full of 50 men.
Okay.
You are assuming that they have come to the place to where you're at.
Well, you're thinking I'm thinking that, but I'm not.
I'm using this as an example.
Okay. But you're assuming that I would think that. I don't think that in any room of 50 people. But
well, and they all say they're free.
Say they're free, but that don't mean they are.
Yeah, they are free.
Yeah. With discernment, you would know pretty quickly, just talking around a little bit, you would know that they weren't free by things they say and the actions that they do.
And then you felt like, okay, well, I'm free here. We're all free. There is no limitations. We're free.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do an act that you felt that was
okay.
free. But then that number 49 says, whoa.
Wait a minute. Okay, well, see, he wasn't free. And I assume he's free. You know what you do when you assume. See, you can't assume. You got to know something.
But I don't see that if you are totally speaking freedom that you're assuming.
Okay, but you are. When you're judging somebody else, you are assuming they understand what you understand. And that's not so. They may even say it, but until you get to know that person a little bit, you can't say they understand where you're at.
How do you ever come out of the box then?
You're trying to make something that's too literal, I think. You're judging something.
No,
I'm trying to say what you're saying. I don't know what you're thinking, but what you're saying, you're trying to draw a line and say, well, if I cross that line. You can't judge everybody in the room, 50 people you just walk into and say, now we're all grown-ups here and this is the way it's going to be. I can't do that because I'm taking a liberty that I don't have the liberty to do. If I know, it says, if you know, he's talking about if you know to do something to offend somebody, don't do it no more. You can't take back what you just did. If we brought a piece of meat here and say, hey, we just took this off the altar of Baal. We got this big leg of lamb here we're going to have for lunch today. Somebody says, I'm offended. Okay, well, we ain't going to do that no more. You can't already take back what you already put in your mouth and chewed up and eat. You see what I'm saying? You're putting a hypothetical out there that you can't.
I'm still trying to. I'm trying to figure.
Well, free doesn't mean you have a right to hurt anybody, though.
Okay. I'm
trying to help you understand. Just like in our country, supposedly we're free, right? Do you have the liberty to run into a crowded room and say, fire, when there's no fire? You're responsible for anybody that's hurt in that. You see what I'm saying?
I'm trying to lean more towards the spiritual.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Get that later. You have to realize that just like in our free country, we're not free with everything, are we? So you have to learn that that's the way it is. And it's the same thing in the Spirit. He's telling us the same thing. We have liberty to do anything, but if what I'm doing would offend somebody, then I got to back out of it.
I'll get back with you on this later.
That's okay. We'll talk about it.
There's too many splitting hairs in it.
No, it's not splitting hairs. It's the way you understand it. But I'll help you with it. Okay, where did I leave off at? 22? Okay. And 23 now. And he that doubts is not damned, but judged if he eats. If you doubt it's right, then you're judging yourself when you eat because you're saying, oh, I don't know if I should eat this or not, but I'm going to eat anyway. Because he eats not from faith, it should be not of, but from faith. Because all that is not from faith is an offense. You can't be free unless you eat it from faith. And faith is not hope, something you hope for. Faith is something you know is true, convinced by the Spirit of God. Do I believe what he said? Everything's lawful to me. Do you believe it's lawful? If I don't believe it's lawful, then guess what? I'm going to be in condemnation and guilt. That help anything? Okay. Anybody got anything to add? Or okay. We'll continue this in a couple weeks. Right? And we got 2 weeks. We got two more lessons.
I thought David would have done at the end of the year.
Yep. Oh, I want to do one more thing. Did you stop that?
Oh, yeah.
You can't do it, can you? Daggone it. I wanted to read another translation to this thing. I'm going to go ahead and read it, but you can't add that to it. It's on this one. Well, hang on. Okay, I want to read this to you. The Living Bible. It says, give a warm welcome to the brother who wants to join you, even though his faith is weak. Don't criticize him for having different ideas from yours about what is right and wrong. For instance, don't argue with him about whether or not to eat meat that has been offered to idols. You may believe there is no harm in this, but the faith of others is weaker. They think it's wrong and will go without any meat at all, eat vegetables rather than eat meat of any kind. Those who think it's all right to eat such meat must not look down on those who won't. And if you are one of those who won't, don't find fault with those who do. For God has accepted them to be his children. They are God's servants, not yours. They are responsible to him, not to you. Let him tell them whether they are right or wrong, and God is able to make them do as they should. Some think that Christians should observe the Jewish holidays as special days to worship God, but others say it's wrong and foolish to go to all the trouble, for every day alike belongs to God. On questions of this kind, everyone must decide for himself. If you have special days for worshiping the Lord, you are trying to honor him. You are doing a good thing. So is the person who eats meat that has been offered to idols. He is thankful to the Lord for it. He is doing right. And the person who won't touch such meat, he too is anxious to please the Lord and is thankful. We are not our own bosses to live or die as we ourselves might choose. Living or dying, we follow the Lord. Either way, we are his. Christ died and rose again for the very purpose so that he can be our Lord both while we live and when we die. You have no right to criticize your brother or look down upon him. Remember, each of you will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess to God. Yes, each of us will give an account of himself to God. So don't criticize each other anymore. Try instead to live in such a way that you will never make your brother stumble by letting him see you doing something he thinks is wrong. As for myself, I am perfectly sure on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing really wrong with eating meat that has been offered to idols. But if someone believes it is wrong, then he shouldn't do it because for him it is wrong. And if your brother is bothered by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you go ahead and eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Don't do anything that will cause criticism against yourself, even though you know that what you do is right. For after all, the important thing for us as Christians is not that we eat or drink, but stirring up the goodness and peace and joy from the Holy Spirit. If you let Christ be Lord in these affairs, God will be glad and so will others. In this way, aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't undo the work of God for a chunk of meat. Remember, there is nothing wrong with meat, but it is wrong to eat it if it makes another stumble. The right thing to do is to quit eating meat or drinking wine and doing anything else that offends your brother or makes him sin. You may know that there is nothing wrong with what you do, even from God's point of view, but keep it to yourself. Don't flaunt your faith in front of others who might be hurt by it. In this situation, happy is the man who does not sin by doing what he knows is right. But anyone who believes that something he wants to do is wrong shouldn't do it. He sins if he does, for he thinks it is wrong, and so for him it is wrong. Anything that is done apart from what he feels is right is sin. That's straight out of the Living Bible. Really nails it very well. And I'm not a big fan of the Living Bible, but you got to give credit where credit's due. That one expressed it very well. That's what I wanted on the end of that. What's on this one?
I can't edit that.
Didn't say you have to edit. Mm-hmm.